Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
All right, we are now at the portion of the service that we call the show and tell. And traditionally, what I do at the show and tell is I invite anybody who is either young or short or otherwise wants to be sort of centered when we read the scripture reading to come on forward and have a seat right up here. And I have something that you kind of need to be up here in order to see. So anybody who wants to is welcome to. Anybody who doesn't want to, y'all stay right where you are. Cool beans. All right. I have a show and tell today that some of you may be able to identify. Let's see. I got to see if Warren got the size right. Can't even read the size anymore, Warren. Oh, no, you were off by half a size. Yeah. All right. Ryan Albers, I think you know what these are. Hiking boots. Is he good or what?
Yeah.
These are hiking boots. Now, what's special about hiking boots, Ryan Albers?
They allow you to walk in the woods.
They allow you to walk in the woods. Now, surely I could walk in the woods without appropriate footwear. What would happen then? My feet would hurt because of what?
The rocks.
The rocks. Yes. So these are specially built with good thick soles and little rubber toe cappy things and good solid construction on the sides to keep my feet from getting hurt on the rocks or the roots or the what have you that I come across as I go walking through the woods. And that means that these boots are really good for lots of different places, right? They're ready if I go in the woods here. They have taken me through the woods in El Salvador. They have taken me through the snow, which is not a rocks problem, but it is also helped by the special construction of these hiking boots. They get me ready for all kinds of different journeys, yeah? You're with me so far? Because we've got a scripture reading today about going on a journey. Do you like that segue? Was that good? Thank you. Thank you. So our Bible story today is about going on a journey. We are going to meet people named Abram and Sarai. You might know them better by their later names, Abraham and Sarah. And Abram and Sarai are going to become the ancestors of the Hebrew people that we meet and read about in the Old Testament. The Hebrew people are eventually the ancestors of the Jewish people that we know today. They are also, in our Christian story, the ancestors of Jesus. And so Abram and Sarai, as we meet them today, are the beginning of a story that we will learn in December is for us about Jesus. Only Abram and Sarai don't know that yet. They are going to get the news today, and they're going to start a journey. And they're going to start a journey that's not going to take them directly where they think they're going. It's not even going to take them directly where God knows they're going. And so they're going to go through at least one pair of hiking boots each as they go through this story. Will you pray with me? God of mercy, your covenant with us is never broken. Amid all the changing words of our time, speak your eternal word that does not change. As we hear, may we respond to your promise and your call with lives of faithfulness and blessing through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture reading today is Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak at Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negeb. This is the word of the Lord. So I was in a church meeting room when I heard the call. I was meeting with the Committee on Preparation for Ministry here in Des Moines Presbytery. I was out of seminary, but because reasons, I was not ready to ordain yet. I had about a year or so to kind of continue in that process. And the call was, stay in the church world. Do something in a church. Make sure that you are keeping your feet in a local congregation, which was wise on the part of my CPM. It was a good idea to keep an eye on me during that time. And so, while I spent some time waiting tables, I was also a part-time youth director, not too far from here. And youth director, that's not a role that I had really seen myself in. I was not like the cool kind of youth pastor idea, right? That I never thought that was where I was headed. I was never that kind of cool, not in school. I was not even cool by the standards of my own church youth group, right? But the call came in this voice that I knew and trusted and that honestly had a little bit of authority over me, so I needed to follow that voice whether I trusted it or not. But I did. I really did trust that voice. And so I answered. And so pretty soon there I was, you know, leading games and coordinating service projects and teaching my very first confirmation class. And if that's not intimidating, I don't know what is. That was not the first part of my call. Right? Like I'm a few chapters down in this story of Abram and Sarai when this part of my call happened, but it was the beginning of a really new stage on my journey as I became the pastor that I am now. So our scripture reading is entering in, again, at the very beginning, it seems, at least the beginning of the part of the story we have of Abram and Sarai. And they are called to step into this big, challenging, complicated journey. And I don't know where they were or what they were doing right before God showed up and started speaking. It's this bizarre, unexpected event that this part of the story just begins with, "The Lord said to Abram." And all we've seen so far is Abram and his dad and his cousin or nephew, just hanging out in this town called Haran, and all of a sudden God shows up. And here they are. They weren't planning on this. They have settled into this town. They are old. They're nearly dead by Bible standards. They are retired and childless. They are the very first childless couple in the entire Bible. And God shows up with this call and this promise. This call to get up and go to this land that I will give not to you but to your descendants. And while I've got your attention on the subject of descendants, you're going to have a bunch of them. That is nuts. That's this huge interruption in the life that they were already living, that they were already participating in. That sense of interruption, that's why we talk about where we were when we heard certain news. Whether we're talking about tragic, shocking news like the news that we remembered yesterday, or whether we're talking about joyful, amazing news like the news of a birth, or why we remember where we were the first time we saw our beloved, and we have to embellish that story sometimes because sometimes we miss them the first time, but we still want to have this story that illustrates what an amazing interruption into our lives that relationship has become. And it's why we talk about where we were when we hear this call to a new beginning. Like the call that Abram and Sarai hear today. I imagine maybe they were there at game night in Haran with their friends, and all of a sudden, Abram and Sarai together, without saying anything to each other, both jump up from Scrabble and say, "Finish without us, we gotta go." I picture this comes just out of the blue at them. And they don't even know where they're going, they just know that they have to. It's not clear how they'll know that they're there, but God has said, "I will show you when you are there." So that call must have come in some known, trusted voice. Abram and Sarai must have been listening to God for a while, I think, in order to be able to recognize this voice when it arrives with such unexpected news. And maybe it's one of those voices that wasn't familiar until you heard it, and you realize when you hear it that, yes, that is the voice I've been waiting for. Now, we know that their story will move forward, and they will start to see God more clearly as they go on. We're going to be following their story for the rest of this month, and we will see how they continue to interact with God as they journey along into this promise that God has given them, into this promise that they live into, not perfectly by any stretch, just read the rest of this chapter, but they live into it faithfully. They are continuing to seek where God is leading them. And they see God already at the end of this scripture reading. You heard that, right? They see God already. God has called Abram and Sarai into this journey. And God says, "Okay, go to this land that I will show you." And they get to the land and they see God. God reveals God's self to them right there in that place. God, of course, has been there all along, but it's something about the following into that place that allows them to see and recognize God more clearly. Most of us don't get to see God with 100% crystal clarity, certainly not all the time. We have hunches, we may have dreams, we may follow convictions as they lead us into the world. Abram's moments of clarity as he goes through this story will be very few and far between. And most of us don't get it right the first time when we're trying to follow God. There's good news there as well, of course, because Abram doesn't get it right when he tries to follow God either, including, as I said, in the rest of today's chapter from Genesis. But God promises, not that Abram will always get it right, not that Abram will end up somewhere that he expected to be, but God promises that God will give blessing to Abraham and that God will give blessing through him. And that will finally be revealed, that blessing will finally be revealed, not in Abram's life and Sarai's life, but in the lives of the generations that follow. In their son Isaac, whom we have not yet met, and in Isaac's descendants after him. Isaac's son Jacob will become the ancestor of the Hebrew people. The Jewish people trace their lineage back to him. We trace Jesus' lineage back to him and to Abram before him. And this blessing is not only for them, it is through them for all the world. That's what God says. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And so far, I have to tell you that because you can't see a bit of it. None of that story is visible at the time we begin here. And so we celebrate today how Abram and Sarai, they just took those first steps without any real knowledge of where those steps would eventually lead them. When I heard that call in that meeting room in a church in Des Moines, I knew roughly where my first steps would take me. They would take me into youth ministry, of all things. And then, as I got there, I found that God was doing ever more new things through that call. God was giving me experience that I would then use at my first ordained call with grown-ups, too. God would teach me to love middle schoolers. I'm going to say that again. God would teach me to love middle schoolers. My first confirmation class was all sixth graders. Have you ever tried teaching confirmation to sixth graders? It's a hoot. They're amazing. They've got these questions and these insights that just challenge everything that I bring to them and allow them to challenge me. And I got to learn from their bright vision, and they got to learn from whatever I had, but also from our other adult helper, who was also a gift to all of us. It was amazing. And that's not to mention that I really love and enjoy the people there, both the old ones and the young ones. And the young ones are not nearly as young as they used to be, let me tell you that. Now, I don't know where God is going to be for you this year. I don't know where God is calling you this year. Maybe God is ready to be revealed to you in some new activity or some new partnership, something you haven't tried for many, many years, maybe a partnership that we as a congregation haven't even started yet. Or maybe you're called this year to receive care and nurture in a way that you aren't used to. Maybe called to receive some care and nurture after years of doing the same kind of work for someone else. Maybe you're called to follow God in some brand new way this year, but I pray that this year will be a journey for all of us to bless our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
I'll begin with a reminder of the Activate Your Faith form that is in your bulletin today. If you are putting that in the offering plate right now, don't worry, I'm sure you did it right. We are updating these forms from about 4 years ago, so even if you did fill those forms out then, we would love to update your records because we know interests and opportunities may change. Also be aware that checking an activity is not necessarily a commitment to do that, it's an expression of interest. So you should get on a list and learn more about that. And everybody is encouraged to fill that out, whether you are a member, a non-member, a youth, a kid, whether you are too old to want to do the things you used to do 4 years ago, whether you're too young to decide what you want to do. Fill out the form. Okay. We are also going to talk about some of the things that are starting. This is Covenant Sunday. This is what we celebrate. And before that, I want to celebrate some of the gifts of time that many of you gave over the last 18 months, particularly while we were not gathering in the building due to COVID. There was still work to do, there were still activities to take care of, and because we were not meeting in person during that time, all that work was invisible. So I want to say thank you. I'm going to name some particular names. I'm going to miss some, I'm sure. So if you're one of the ones I miss, my apologies. But we had grass that needed to be mowed the entire time. So I want to say thank you to Brian Barker and family, Bob Anthony, Bruce Anderson, Lee Cox, Bob Rees, Warren Pitcher, and Jerry Castor for taking care of the lawn mowing on an ongoing basis, even when the building was closed. I want to thank Bob Johnson, who coordinated having the sanctuary painted last summer. You didn't even notice, did you? That's a sign of a good paint job. I want to thank Wes Schieber for helping to reset the lights and the projectors after the painters were here. I want to thank Deb Hayes and Bob Hiddle for coordinating with our partners at Head Start and for taking care of a number of general building needs when we needed to call somebody and say, hey, such and such seems not to be working. They were some of our go-to calls. The financial life of the congregation continued, so we had to receive mail, we had to pay bills, we had to record things, and thanks to Sue Bueller and Kent Myers, among others, for taking care of that during that time. The shepherds, we're going to talk more about the shepherds next week, but the shepherds stepped up with phone calls and cards and other ways of checking in with members of the congregation. The session guided us through that uncertain in-between time and have brought us back together as we are now. We depended heavily on our staff, Laura Schieber, Carrie Christian, William Beyer, Jennifer Chance, and Heather Blue Ballou. And as I said, surely I have missed others. So thank you everyone for what you did during the time that we have just been through while the building was closed. I want to thank everyone for your continued support of Covenant's mission with your time and talent and treasure. But wait, there's more. Now we get to kick off this new program year with hope for safe in-person events. So we have Covenant Kids beginning this Wednesday night for kids age 3 through 5th grade with fun and games and activities and learning that all begins this Wednesday, September 15th from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Kids in this age group are not yet eligible for vaccines, and so we are going to require masks for all adults and kids participating in our Wednesday activities for now. We want to do our best to protect those who do not have the option of a vaccine. Youth group also begins this Wednesday for grades 6 through 12. We will have lessons and fun here, mission and service projects in the community. And we're beginning this week at Mary's Helping Hands. We'll do some crowd favorites like Furry Friends and some new opportunities like trail cleanup. And church members, if you miss youth group or didn't realize you missed youth group, you are often invited to join the youth for many of those mission activities. So keep your eyes open for that invitation. Contemporary Issues began this Sunday at 8:30 a.m., our new time on Sundays because the conversations were too good to fit into a smaller period of time. So Contemporary Issues takes a faith perspective on what's going on in the world today. This fall, we will talk about everything from the Israel-Palestine conflict to climate change to the future of sports. So keep your eyes on the Covenant Corner for announcements about upcoming Contemporary Issues topics. Bible study also began this morning at 9 a.m. Lee Cox is facilitating a group that studies the Bible one book at a time. Lee, what are we starting with? Ecclesiastes. That is a fun book. I like that one. So join Lee for Ecclesiastes. There is a time to join the Ecclesiastes study. Oh, some of you already have done it. That's great. All right, we've got Covenant Presbyterian Women Circles meeting twice each month. The study book this year is What My Grandmothers Taught Me, Learning from the Women in Matthew's Genealogy of Jesus. To pick up your study book, just see Deb Kellogg today or give her a call to get yours delivered. That's especially for you who are at home. All women are welcome. Both circles are meeting online this month of September, and we'll continue to evaluate whether and when they're ready to meet in person. And you have heard the announcements about the chancel choir. You've heard the chancel choir, thank you. And the announcement about the bell choir. So the chancel choir sings most Sundays during worship, and they rehearse on Wednesday evenings. The bell choir shares a gift of music once a month, and they also rehearse on Wednesday evenings, and there is always room for more ringers in a bell choir. Join them as you heard before, for dinner this Wednesday night, and then try one of those groups on. Try them both on. Just like CPW, not all groups are quite ready to come back in person. So look for news about men's breakfast and the book club when those activities are ready to resume. Keep an eye out for one-time mission events and other special opportunities that we'll share in the Covenant Corner. And take a look at this week's Covenant Corner for a chance. Remember, I told you could join the youth group. Join the youth group at Meals from the Heartland on September 22nd. That's good work for youth of all ages. So we are excited, we are happy about being back together and beginning this program year, and we are grateful for all the gifts that not only we share with the life of this congregation, but the gifts that this congregation shares with the world.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.